Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Dev Pulse, Expanding the Stack, a Do the Woo podcast show. Let's talk about Kinsta, our sponsor. They got your back with free migrations, daily backups, and a support team that's always awake. Because websites don't sleep, so they don't. So if you want your site to be fast, secure, and stress-free, give Kinsta a try. Visit Kinsta.com to learn more. Now let's get into the conversation.
Welcome to another episode of Dev Pulse, Expanding the Stack here on Do the Woo. I'm Zach Stepik. I'm here with Carl, as always, and Carl Board behind him, as you can see this episode.
And he's going to be a new fixture of our video recordings now. He's going to be there every episode, creeping out everyone. It's going to be great.
I mean, that's the way it should be. That's what Carl Board's use is, correct? So
at this point, yes. Yeah. At children's parties.
Well, that makes sense. So as you can see, we have joining us this episode, Robert Jacoby from Blackwall. And we are going to talk about the event that I was sad to miss, CloudFest.
Knock it out, Robert. Let's go. You are like the ringleader. You're the ringmaster.
Literally.
We should just start with that. Like, you know, like the whole boxing ring thing at CloudFest.
I have always wondered how to get Robert Jacoby in a boxing ring. And it turns out all you have to do is ask him to MC.
That's exactly how it works. Oh, yeah. So CloudFest, a marathon at sprint speed, as usual, bigger and better than I've ever experienced. With a lot of tweaks since last year, and one of them was actually the ring stage, which you guys are teasing me about, and rightfully so. And that was an opportunity for a lot of smaller companies to do pitches. So there were 5 and 10 minute topics, pitches regarding, you know, something they think is valuable, or, you know, half the time also kind of a little salesy pitch. So work on some of that. But it was held in a boxing ring with a mic dropping from the sky and a ringer to kick people off if they're talking too long. So that was a brand new addition. There are videos circulating. I'm sure Bob has one somewhere that he might attach to this.
I'm sure. I mean, like, but there's videos of you like grabbing the thing, and it's just like, it's great.
And actually, on the last day, we had a real boxing match, you know, kind of an exhibition boxing match, four rounds.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So it was used to its full extent and really entertaining. But, you know, some of the more traditional things, the exhibition hall was in full swing. I didn't count the number of sponsors, but, you know, filled to the hilt you know, WordPress companies, infrastructure companies, you know, you have your, you know, hosting company, landing page, dashboard companies, security, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a whole mix. I mean, the one that, like, stood out is, like, there was a company that made, like, basically power bars for server rooms, and they had a whole booth, basically, just for power bars and server rooms. I was like, okay, we're really at a, like, cloud, like, an infrastructure conference here.
The one I heard that was most interesting was some giant, like, RAID 5, RAID 6. Vendor.
Oh, I think I saw them. They had like a demo thing with the discs, right? Like,
correct. So they had a whole wall of the discs, and they actually had a contest that if you could pull one out and sort of collapse the array, you would actually get to keep that hard drive.
Nice.
Oh my goodness.
So I guess there were one or two of them set up to collapse the array, obviously.
Yeah, it depends on the raid setup. Yeah.
Right.
It could also be a contest to fail, you know, like the ones at the carnivals where you, like, you can't win, basically.
Yeah, rigged games, those are always fun.
You know, you could do raid configurations that aren't meant to collapse, at least with one hard drive, basically, you know.
So,
like,
yeah,
you
need... I'm thinking, pull the one that someone pulled next to you in case they're trying to sync up and you can try to catch them off guard.
But yeah, exactly.
That's the extent of my hardware knowledge. But then there was speed networking. There was the hackathon, which I'm sure Carl will get deeply into.
We'll get to that.
WordPressy of the things we can talk about. There were an additional two new sort of venues within the giant Europa Park for those people who don't know what Cloudfest is. It's in a weird German word. It's not the right word. It's small in the middle of nowhere version of like Disneyland. And
did you ever hear the story about this? Like, I had people tell me the story of the park where like why it's where
well, it started out as a roller coaster manufacturer. The family did.
Yeah, exactly. It was their demo. It was their demo area. They would bring executives from like Disney and whatnot to try out roller coasters, and they built them basically there. Like, there's their staging environment. That's why it's in the middle of nowhere. It makes no sense. Like, I had to take three trains to get and a bus, you know, to get to this venue.
And a plane.
And a plane. Well, I mean,
trains and automobiles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure if they set up like a private airstrip, like I'm sure they'd get some executives to like fly in or something like that.
They may have one for all we know.
Right. Right. This is true. In the That's middle true. Of the Black Forest, right? So it's just middle of nowhere, Germany.
Correct.
Yeah.
The closest is what? It's 30 minutes from Strasbourg is probably the closest major city.
Yeah. It's close to Strasbourg. It's close to Freiburg. I don't know if it's a half an hour away, but it was kind of like on the second train, which was still a pretty like a icy, like an intercity train. It was going to Freiburg next. So I think it wasn't too far. But yeah, so it's really in the middle of nowhere. Like it's not, you know, some people got stuck trying to get there. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jason Nickerson. We know you got stuck on your way there.
Well, it's interestingly, this may be the first time in a number of years where it wasn't caused by like airport or train strikes. So I know folks flying in from the US got stuck because of weather, and then return flights got messed up because of the Heathrow power generator fire.
Yeah, that's it. I was gonna say this year
heard about that
was
one.
The
yeah,
Heathrow on the way back. I was talking with Andrew Palmer.
Yeah,
about it. And he was like, yeah, I live 20 minutes from Heathrow. He was like, he thought it was like, I was joking with him. I'm like, I wish I was like, but yeah, all of Heathrow's closed.
Yeah, we had a little black wall breakfast Thursday morning, and, you know, four or five folks were flying either directly into Heathrow or
through.
And there was a massive like, no, we're not kidding, quick. And then the actual official Cloudfest alert came on the app.
Wow. Like,
this is for real.
Well, so Europa Park, from my understanding, is the second largest amusement park in all of Europe, right? Only smaller than Euro Disney, from what I understand.
Sure.
There was an Adam Weeks fact that was shared in one of the episodes that he did during Cloudfest. So if you want to go back, there are a ton of Do the Woo episodes that were recorded live during Cloudfest with people. And there's a lot of good content there as well. If you want to understand a little bit more about the conference overall, or if you just want to walk the expo floor with Adam and critique booths, that was definitely something that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea to take a virtual tour just to get an idea of the scope and honestly the money spent at Cloudfest. If you've only been to WordCamps, even the flagship WordCamps, Cloudfest is just a different world of conference.
Yeah, and it's definitely a different world. Definitely.
My understanding
is
that
money spent, but also just in even the size, like.
Right.
The size of it was huge.
They've had 13,000 plus or minus registrations. Mm-hmm. I don't know the final on-site numbers, but last year on-site was like 8,500, and I feel it definitely exceeded it. So maybe by not, you know, 5,000.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a lot. Like, just even on the second day, like, attendance for those the whole point of the show is also to talk about non-WordPressy things. So like, I assume a lot of people listening probably have never gone, but the attendance drops like even faster than WordCamps, like between the 3 days, like it goes down pretty fast. Like most people are there, but even on the second day, there was so many people, like it was way more people than even WordCamp Europe on peak day, you know, on their second day. And they probably lost a good chunk of people. And like there was concerts outside my freaking window, and it was like packed to the rim with people like for the concerts and all that stuff. So it's just like it's on a different scale, you know, because like I said, like it's never been to something this big.
It's not, the park is not just a novelty. It actually facilitates the largest hallway track you'll ever be in, because you can't go anywhere else. There's nothing else to do. So you're going to meet people whether you like it or not. And most folks
definitely
are really wanting to engage with you. Unlike a WordCamp, you know, I would be hard pressed to say there's anything like community outside of the hackathon, which we still need to get to, Carl. Everyone's doing business, selling, buying, creating partnerships. It's the closest comparison to me is WordCamp Europe, which has seemed to always lean in that direction a bit more of the flagships, but it still doesn't compare because it is pure business. No,
it's pure business. I think for me personally, I think US is more pure business than Europe, but like in my experience, but yeah, I think it's much more pure business. And yeah, the hallway track, the fact you're all stuck together there for 3 days means that like you can find ways to meet up. Like you, like it's like you can pick a hotel to go to and just like meet in the lobby and go to like one of the bars there. They have an app, which I only learned on the last day. There was an app. There was a CloudFest app. They have an app so you can communicate with attendees and schedule meetings and all that stuff. So it's definitely very business, but it's also very friendly, like curious. Like it's like people are there to make deals, but people are also curious and want to hear about what you're doing and things like that. And they're just there to connect. Like,
yeah,
that's how it felt to me.
Well, and it's only CloudFest attendees that are there, because this is a week before the park opens to the public, right? So there's nobody else there. It's just CloudFest, and the entire amusement park, the entire park is
But CloudFest. Not all of the rides are open. So, okay. I mean...
Yeah, no. Not all of the rides.
Only the important ones like Voltron, right?
Oh, yeah. It took me 2 hours to get over Voltron. So Voltron, for those who don't know, is like your newest. So the company that set up the park, their specialty, like we said, is roller coasters. So like this is like their new flagship roller coaster. They literally opened it in the last year. Like CloudFest attendees couldn't even go last year to that one. And yeah, like I'm not super motion sick, but I'm a bit motion sick, and it took me 2 hours to get over it. And I definitely know people that like were totally out of commission, like like for the rest of the day after going. I got a lot of details. Speaking of a kind of WordPress person that I met there for the first time, like Christian Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's a roller coaster nerd. So like I went with him to Voltron. He was like, oh, I want to do it again. And he's like giving me all the details and everything. But basically, I think they made it like as intense as they could like make it without like your body like falling to mush or you needing to be like an Air Force pilot to basically survive the G forces on it. So it's quite intense, but it's aesthetically super cool. Like it's like it's thematic to Nikola Tesla. So it feels like they make it look like you're shooting out of the rail gun and like the whole thing. It's like really, it's cool. It's really cool.
Even sounds
if it takes
fun.
You 2 hours to get over it.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I would definitely enjoy that. So I have a goal next year if I get to go. Yeah,
Just do it on the last day. You know, don't be a hero. Just wait till the last day.
Unless you're a roller coaster pro, of which I'm not. So I may skip that.
I am not. This was literally my first what they consider like modern roller coasters, like with all the... Like he was telling me all the tech, like they have algorithms now that like adjust the speed that the whole thing launches based on how hot the wheels are getting, right? Because it's like insane. Like it's just like the, you know, it's like anything. Like if you have the data, you're going to like push it to the limit. So that's what they do with that stuff.
Speaking of roller coasters, I know there's some of this on LinkedIn, the roller coaster pitch.
I saw some of those. Yeah, they did pitches on roller coasters.
So, yeah, why are you getting cranked up to the top of the roller coaster? You get to do your pitch, but that really only gives you like 30 seconds. So you have to have a tight pitch and then...
Yeah, that's a true elevator pitch right there.
I saw some people continuing once the like
Oh, yeah.
Right, started, you know, like they're like, okay, I'm trying. I'm getting some extra seconds in.
And we put all these things on the quiet. I mean,
that's exactly what it is. And, you know, that's part of the CloudFest experience is that they also want you to be entertained. So, like, the server throwing contest.
Right.
Server throwing contest. And, yeah, like, rock concerts. Like, I missed the Shamrock one, which was, I guess, Irish themed on the first day because I was at the VIP dinner thing. But the second day it was like, you know, it was a cover band and they were playing like Rage Against the Machine and all this, like all these bands. It was like crazy. And yeah, the whole thing's full.
And we're talking about first day and second day, but the hackathon started on Saturday, went to Sunday. Then there was like WP Day, Agency Day. And then,
I mean, it's still going on in the morning. I think that was one of the complaints is that the hackathon overlaps with the WP Agency Day.
And then Tuesday is actually day one of CloudFest.
Right. So it's there are a lot of negative folks three, already, negative two, negative one.
Yeah. There are a lot of folks like Carl who were already 3 days in before day one of CloudFest.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big experience. Like, I'm still exhausted because, like Robert says, like, it's a lot of networking, it's a lot of talking. You're meeting a lot of people, especially. For me, I was like really looking at the end. That's like the point of this podcast now is to just, I wanted to meet people outside the WordPress space directly, you know, like, and see like how they are, what their issues they're having. And it was really instructive for that. But yeah, on top of the hackathon, it's like, it's a lot. You gotta be ready. Like some people just came for the hackathon and left, you know.
But those folks are staying now more often throughout the conference. So I remember the first hackathon, people just came to the hackathon and left because it was so much more on the hardware side of the universe. And as it's expanded to the platforms, cloud services, and so forth, people are staying throughout the conference now.
So the hackathon, there were a ton of teams, right? There's a lot that happened, tons of projects that people were working on.
I think it was 12 total. There was a lot.
And the hackathon page is still up if you go to cloudfest.com. There are 10 or 12 projects. Zero.
It looks like 10. Yeah.
100% attendance. So everyone who signed up for the hackathon actually attended. That was a first in CloudFest hackathon history. We had a repeat winner for the accessibility project to translate. What do we call those graphs?
Infographics.
Infographics, thank you.
Yeah, it was the infographics one.
To make infographics screen reader accessible. It was brilliant. The projects that came out of there are getting more traction further along after the entire hackathon experience has ended.
Well, and Carl, you worked on one of those teams. What was that like?
Yeah, so I worked on the one that was like securing the open source supply chain, which was not an easy one to demonstrate, but we won best presentation somehow. But I take no credit in that. But yeah, it was, I think one of the things that was really interesting about the hackathon is that, yes, there was some WordPress aspects to it because like some projects were CMS related, but a lot of it was just cool projects. And you could just pick, you could sit at the table and decide which one you wanted to work on. The one that I ended up working on, this one, was not my first, it wasn't the pick I thought I'd pick, but they start the hackathon and every team has leaders and they come and they pitch you their project. So
listen
to the pitches and then you decide who you're going to sit with. So I just kind of decided I like security a lot and all that seems really interesting to me. So I figured, I'll work on that. And that's how I picked my team. But everybody has their own reasons for picking whatever they want. But you're not forced, basically. You just literally, all that they want is that you show up and you work on something. And you get to pick what you want to work on. And that's it. And you have 2 days, 2.5 days to do it, basically. Yeah, you finish on Monday morning, and the presentations are in the afternoon.
Nice.
I spoke at length actually with Carol Olinger, sort of the main.
Yeah, she did a podcast prior to the hackathon. Like, I forget who did it, but there's a Do the Woo podcast about it.
Didn't have a chance to look at anything in the last 4 weeks.
But you've been a bit busy.
The process, for those who may have not heard Carol, is pretty intense for how they actually choose the projects, how they accept people into the hackathon. So the success is well merited for all the effort.
Yeah, there's a lot of vetting. You have to apply. I have to apply to, like, you have to explain why you think you should be in the hackathon. Even they have some they already had some project listed. So I said, oh, I think I'd be a good fit for this one for these reasons. Obviously, Carol and Alain and a lot of the organizers already knew me, but I think it's just important to know going in. I think that was like one of the things for me for the hackathon is just I took it really seriously.
Right.
So I applied in a very serious manner. Like I was just like, hey, this is what I think I would be good at based on the projects. Because they pay for a lot of stuff for you to come, right? Like you're going to, so it's, you know,
talking for me. Hotels and food for,
yeah. You know. Yeah. I mean, for me, like, you know, I was really honest with them too. Like, you know, for me, CloudFest on a personal basis is super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like just to give an idea for people, the tickets, I mean, I got the VIP on your recommendation actually, Robert, and I think it was worth getting the VIP ticket, but the VIP ticket is even when you get the regular pass paid for you for the hackathon, but the upgrade is 600 euros. So in American dollars, about the same thing. So it's about 600 American dollars to get that VIP pass. And then you have to pay for accommodations. The hotels mm-hmm. are expensive. They're between $200 and $300 a night. So I actually went into the hackathon just as a way to save money. And now I think the hackathon was such a good experience that I'm more interested in going to that. Obviously, I want to go back to CloudFest, but like it was such a good experience on its own that I've been pitching a lot of developers to just come. Tom, like I had Remkes record a video for Tom McFarlane, basically it's saying he should be there. So I'm going to work on him. But like, there's a couple of people I think should be at that event and things like that. But they pay for a lot. So it's important for them to vet, you know, that you're coming here, you're going to be serious about it. It's not just like a party and like just something to mess around. Like you have to be serious about it as well.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, it sounds like it was a great experience for you, and I see here that your team won the Pitch Perfect Award, which is great. And,
yeah, Pitch Perfect, exactly.
Yeah, you know, there's so if you go to hackathon.cloudfest.com, there's a whole bunch of information about the hackathon and about all of the projects that were part of it this year. You can go in and look at all the previous projects from 2024. And 2023 as well, and learn a little bit more about how the agenda is set up, the awards that happen, and even partner with the hackathon to make it an easier process for these, you know, it's a fixed fee batch model for the partnerships, but make it easier for them to sponsor people in to get them there. So
I heard that they got enough this year, like they had to turn sponsors down, actually,
which is awesome.
So it's a great place to be in as an organizer. I think you can align better because some of the sponsors can bring people, get a spot on to bring people into the hackathon. Obviously, they can work on whatever they want once they're mm-hmm. there, but so they obviously you don't want to just have company people there, right? So you got to balance all of that. So it's important for them to pick the right partners, the right people that are like interested in participating in the event, not just mm-hmm. putting their, you know, that for me, the weird one that was there was Typo 3, you know, like I never hear about Typo 3 anymore. And then Typo 3 was sponsoring. They had people there. It was awesome.
But still huge in Europe. I mean, that's one of those things. Again,
yeah, exactly.
I mean,
but it's great for exposure, right? Like to different tech communities and things like that. Like I loved it. Like it wasn't just, you had WordPress people there, but you didn't have just WordPress, like kind of a mishmash of people, which was really exciting too.
If you are looking for hosting via cloud servers for your client sites, consider checking out Kinsta. With their container technology, you are assured of no shared resources. Plus, you get global CDN, edge caching, and Cloudflare Enterprise for all your sites. It doesn't stop there, though. Auto backups, staging, plug-in vulnerability alerts, and uptime monitoring comes with 24/7 support that you can expect from humans. Add to this, for agencies, look into their partner programs with some nice extras, plus an account manager and custom plans to meet the needs of your client sites. All this and more, just head over to kinsta.com.
Well, like the project you worked on, that's applicable to any open source project.
Right.
You know, having that.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of code bill of sale or whatever the term actually was.
Yeah, I didn't even know what it was. Literally, I was like the dumb person that was like, hey, what's a SBOM? And they're like software bill of materials, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's this idea, if you're like me and you'd never heard of it before, the event, it's this idea that a bit like when you buy cookies or anything at the grocery store, you have a list of ingredients so that you can read through the list of ingredients and see like, oh, I'm allergic to this or that. The idea is to have something like this for software where you can have basically a list there's different competing formats for it. That was one of the challenges is how do we reconcile these different formats? But basically have a list of of everything that makes up your software so that you can feed it into different like security software and stuff like that. And they can analyze and be like, hey, like these are vulnerabilities, or like you can offer that if you're like an enterprise vendor or you work in government, you have to be able to basically submit that to just say like, this is what this is made of. The versions, the packages, all of it, like from top to bottom. So that you prevent security issues.
Yeah, you can't just say WordPress because WordPress is dependent on other projects. And if it is its own site, then you have, you know, are you using MySQL or Maria? Which version of PHP? So on JavaScript libraries. So
all of it. All of it. Like, you know,
it's
like
pretty
WordPress behind. Yeah, exactly. WordPress behind the scenes uses, like, especially now with Gutenberg, uses a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really important for these, for companies and governments to know what they're getting and have a good way of auditing that for security purposes and things like that. So again, super educational for me, and I would never have heard of this or touched about it maybe for a couple of years or ever if I didn't come to
But
seriously, I mean, I'm not in Europe. In Europe, they're going to need this in like a year or something. Like, there's regulation coming online.
Correct.
Regarding this, which was part of the reason for the project in the first place, was to help start build tooling so that you can generate these files, these SBOMs, and basically be able to submit those to European governments or whatever you need to do basically for security audits.
And maybe that could be worked on further at CloudFest USA in November.
It could.
They've already announced the preliminary schedule, which does include a hackathon, does include a WP day. It literally just came out today.
Well, and just remember, you know, this is what, 2.5 days worth of work, right? With a pitch third day. So your team of the 10 teams, your team alone built 9 code repositories in a GitHub organization, 150 files, 16,000 lines of code, an integration for WordPress in the Site Health module and with WP CLI, a Typo3 admin extension, and a Laravel artisan command, all in 2.5 days.
I generate a lot of that code. Like, so without getting too into the nerdy stuff, like I used the opportunity to use AI a lot to just like build on my workflow. But yeah, like it, my code base, the Transformatron is what I called the mine, has like 200 tests, all the CI, all that. Like, but that was like part of the thing. So like I was talking with Robert over there too. Like on a more personal basis, Yoast also wrote about it, is that like me and Yoast have kind of these personas at work. WordPress events, you know, Yoast is kind of a business guy. I'm like a party guy, basically. Like I'm a party. No, but it's true. I'm the party guy. I'm literally the party guy running around introducing people and things like that. And on Saturday, Robert came in and Yoast and a bunch of people went out. And I said, no, like I had to run basically because I literally can't code when I'm hungover. Like I don't code very well. And people were like, who is this person? Right. Like, but it like nobody's seen either of us kind of in a different context. So it was really fun for me to just be able to show like that, like people were like, holy crap, like Carl pumps out like a ton of code, because like people know that I write code because I've written a million articles on it. Mm-hmm. But they've actually like never seen me work. Like I'm thinking of like Miriam from Elementor. Yep. She walked into the room when she got into the event and she's like, hi, Carl. And then I have my big headphones on being like a complete coder, antisocial person. And I'm like, I'm focused right now. Like, I'll talk. And she's like, who is this person? Who is this? But it's it's different personas, right? Like I have that persona in events where I have to network, be social and all that stuff, but it's not the same things that I need to be like a programmer or my consulting side.
Oh, absolutely.
So it let people see that for like people that have known me for sometimes close to a decade. They just literally never seen me code. They've never seen me write code.
Right.
So it was really interesting for that. I thought that was like a really interesting aspect of the hackathon for me. Like it wasn't something I thought about when I went in. But it was really fun to see people see the programmer side of me for a change.
Not an accident that we, you know, you and Zach are known as coders, even though we may not be in your homes watching you code.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And when we interact at events, we're like in networking mode. So
absolutely.
We're not in programmer mode. We're in networking mode. So it was kind of interesting to have that opportunity. Although I still regret not going out, but I think it was for the best, you know, but still you got it. That was the point, is to show that there's like, you're serious, you know, like, yeah. I think for me, it, at least on a personal basis, I think it's sometimes hard for people to see that I'm also serious sometimes. So it was like, so it's important for that in that context that people understand that, you know, there's a time for one thing and there's a time for another one. And when it's time to be serious and I have to, you know, write a lot of code, short mm-hmm. order, tight deadlines, you can't do the same thing as if I'm just at a conference and nothing is really asked of me besides just being able to talk. You know, I'm really good at that. So
could you say that again? No, kidding.
I'm really good at that too. It's okay. I'm really good at that too. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like it was a great event. You know, the hackathon adheres to a set of core values, which is a very important thing. You know, there's a whole bunch of guidelines around how things work to make sure that things are welcoming and everybody can participate fully and learn and create together. And it's something that I've always wanted to do, and I plan on doing when I do get to CloudFest in...
Well, again, CloudFest US is Miami this November, so, you know, and there will be a hackathon.
I might come to US. CloudFest USA sounds like a good time to me.
Less jet lag.
Whew. Yeah, a little bit less. Just a skosh less. But yeah, I think that it's a great concept, and that the... You know, the output from the hackathon year over year has been amazing, and it just keeps getting bigger. You know, there have been about the same number of projects every time, but it seems like the teams are getting bigger and they're doing more.
I think, well, with all the interests, you can get people who are more focused on specific projects. So, yeah. you know, Carl being the exception to the rule always, jumping in with one project in mind and then shooting over to another, many of the, you know, folks who have signed up for it really already have something in mind of what they're going to do and how they're going to get it done. And to Carl's point, seriousness has gone up dramatically over the years of the hackathon. And I don't think it'll actually grow much bigger just because
I don't think so.
It's hard to do already what they're doing, and you don't want to lose the quality just to have a larger audience.
But also, there's diminishing returns here too, right? Like, there's no advantage to having more projects, more teams. Like, I think it's better to keep it more narrow focus. Mm-hmm. Like, it's you instead you find the right partners, the right you know, the right sponsors, partners, and everything. And you just make it better. Like, I think they seem to be okay with the size of it at this point. I don't think it's going to change. I think it's probably fine too for like the amount of time that we have, you know, like it's already overlapping with the agency day and the WP day, which for me was a problem because I end up being on a panel. So
you weren't the only one. There are plenty of rushing between projects.
I mean, literally, like me and Courtney, like from GoDaddy, we're on the same team. We were working on the same project. We were on the same panel. So like we had to like basically, I worked out with them. Like the last thing I did was the Laravel code for the project. And I told them like in the morning, I was there at 9. I was like, okay, like this is what I'm going to, I have time to do, but I have to be gone. And just go to the WP day because that was an important day for me to be there too. So it's just, I think that's like the issue is like now it's like too crammed with the rest of CloudFest, if anything. Like they probably need an extra day for the hackathon, like start it on Friday or something.
Right. Yeah. And do because you need all the pitches at the beginning, then all the pitches at the end. I don't think it'll get any bigger.
Well, I don't think so. There's one important thing that we kind of haven't mentioned here, right? The goal of the hackathon isn't to build something in its completion, right? It's to start something. And it's to start something that has legs by the time it leaves so that it continues to grow.
Correct.
Yeah, and correct.
So the fact that, you know, 36 some odd projects that have legs have left the hackathons at this point in the last 3 years... That's a huge thing, right? It's a very big thing. And these are, again, not platform, you know, specific. A lot of these are agnostic projects that benefit the entire open source CMS community and or the entire open source infrastructure community, right? So these are really important projects that are changing the way that companies are able to do business, improving the way that companies do business, or that developers can write code. Yeah, so this is all very important work that, honestly, there are numerous projects that are kicking off here and then continuing to get developed throughout the time after CloudFest.
Oh, yeah, and some are looking for funding to really take them to the next level. So, I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I think whether they continue after, obviously everybody wants their project to continue after, but I think there's just something about immersing yourself in a new problem set, at least for me specifically, and just learning about it and thinking about what the challenges are around that. Like SVOMS is a good example because like this is coming whether you want it or not. So it's just like, even if what we end up using just gets looked at for like, you know, I did some code sourcing for another project based on another project. And basically I was just like, oh, okay, let me see how I can do that in PHP. But I don't know about you, Robert, what would you like to see? What would you like to see out of CloudFest? Like what's something new that, you'd like to see them try or that they haven't done. I mean, this event's been going on, just for context, we haven't even talked about that.
This is a dangerous question.
Yes. But I mean, you know me, I like dangerous questions. So, but it's a long running event. So if I get it right, it's over 20 years old, right?
Over 20 years,
So been running for a long time.
Under different, it used to be just World Hosting Days and has morphed into CloudFest back. I think the first official CloudFest was 2017. 18 at the latest, but I think it was actually 2017. And kind of refocused on, you know, not just hosting, obviously, just everything that touches the cloud. For example, this year's top, and they try to lean into a topic. So this year was AI at the edge. So it was great that you mentioned how you were like using AI at the hackathon, because I'm sure, you know, the CloudFest folk will be thrilled about the fact that it's tying into the entire theme of the conference. What would I like to see more or differently? I would like them to somehow make days 30 hours long instead of 24, so I could actually get a nap.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Tell me about it. I think I slept average 4 hours a night.
Yeah. It's 4 to 5 hours. I mean, that's really what you're looking at. I certainly don't want them to make it longer. Let's put it that way.
Not longer.
People dropping like flies after, you know, day three then. I look forward to their creativity. I know they're trying to expand into more of the park with different little topics, so you're not so congested all the time. Because early on, it was just in that main sort of conference center where you had the expo hall and then where the ring is, it's called the dome, but that's where all the big keynotes were. Everyone was kind of jammed into that space. So they're expanding it out so you can actually get to more like topic specific or types of different bits of the conference. So I'm curious to see how they, you know, continue that going forward. And I think it's a great idea because then you're just not as overwhelmed for as much of the time as it's easy to happen.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's shift gear just a little bit. Let's talk a bit about CloudFest USA. I know we've mentioned it a couple of times, but the venue this year is really interesting sounding. It's at the Ice Palace Film Studios in Miami.
I have no idea what that's about yet. But, you know, they've really kind of just started announcing it. It used to be in Austin for the last 2 years.
Yep.
It's always kind of together with their other conference, NamesCon, which focuses on domain names and that industry. So with a now dedicated U.S. team, it'll be very interesting to see what the sort of, I'm going to call it, you know, CloudFest U.S. 2.0 looks like. I think it'll be very brand new compared to what's gone on in the past.
Yeah, I met the organizers over there. Like, they were really excited. I think it's Carol that introed me to them. Because, yeah, you said they were thinking of doing a hackathon, too. Like, so there's a good chance she's going to be in charge of that, I think. But
yeah, they have the preliminary agenda was released today. And so what do we have here? Technically, so pre-conference is the WP Hackathon. So sounds like it's WP-focused.
Okay, got it.
Day one is officially called WP Day.
Nice.
And then day two is hardware day, though it doesn't sound like it's really only hardware, but there's securing networks, building hardware for workloads, AI infrastructure, whatever that may mean. But yeah, so.
Probably a lot of GPUs.
Yeah, it's the NVIDIA procurement talk. It's the NVIDIA procurement talk, basically.
Right. Yeah, please buy all our GPUs.
And so let's see. And there will be the USA server throwing championship. So,
oh boy. You know, there's somebody I think would actually really get a kick out of that, and that's Pat Ramsey from Crowd Favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he participates in those lumberjack games, right? So he'd probably be really good at throwing servers.
Oh my goodness. I I always love watching those because it's like, it feels like the most Canadian thing ever, but it's like not that big here. But I love like, it's like on ESPN2 or something like that. They show those and it's like
ESPN8, the Ocho.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ESPN8, the Ocho. Yeah. It's definitely not an ESPN1 thing, but yeah, there's so many interesting competitions around lumberjacking. It's, you know, it's crazy.
I think Pat would get a kick out of server throwing. We're going to have to try and convince him to go to CloudFest USA.
I mean, I feel like Remkest should give it a shot, but he just comes for the hackathon and leaves, you know? But Remkest, like, with his Atlas ball pickups and everything, like...
Well, I mean, that's the thing. This is a much more condensed because it's hackathon on pre-conference day and day one, so all he has to do is stay one more day.
Right.
Yeah. And if he's coming all the way from the Netherlands, it's you know, you might as well spend an extra day or two in Miami. So I think as a community, we should twist some arms for that.
I think so. So this venue has two buildings, an east building and a west building, and there's other spaces outdoors. So it has kind of that same feel of having a flow between places and some outdoor space and really, really interesting looking event space. And they're an active film studio. So movies have been filmed there. There's TV shows that are filmed there, commercials, music videos. It's 100,000 square feet divided into four stages and a front garden. They have indoor and outdoor filming locations, two large black box stages. So they'll probably do some of the talks in these black box rooms, which could be really interesting. Those are 15,000 square feet apiece. And then two smaller black box stages, 3,500 square feet each. They also have a fully equipped green room for comfort and convenience for talent, which will probably be used for speakers. They do have dedicated makeup and wardrobe rooms. We're probably not going to end up using those.
You never know.
For all the keynotes and a lot of the other sessions, their CloudFest in Roost actually does do makeup. So
nice.
We did our Blackwall keynote. Nikolai, Nedev, and I. We got.
I saw pictures from that.
Done up, or at least removed some of the shine. I don't know what this stuff means.
Well, and apparently this place has ample on-site parking to accommodate crew and trucks, and the hotel is not far. So the official hotel for this year is the Miami Marriott Biscayne Bay, and beautiful hotel. I've been there before. It's right on the bay. It's gorgeous views. Definitely would try to stay there if you get a chance to book in time to do so.
And yeah, there'll be a shuttle bus between the hotel and the actual conference.
Yeah, as well. So this looks like it's going to be a great time. The venue looks very unique. I'm looking forward to potentially being able to go this year. And I hope to see a number of our listeners there. So if you want to expand your stack. Let's see what I did there. Beyond.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. We got a name. We got to find a way to plug in the name. It's like when they do the name of the movie they say the name of the movie and the movie. It's the same thing. We got to say expand the stack every episode.
So if you're looking for a way to expand your stack and have a great time doing some great work on projects that are affecting the entire open source community and improving things for everyone, join the hackathon at CloudFest USA or at the next CloudFest in Europa Park. And you can find more information about all of that at cloudfest.com. If you're looking for specifically for USA, there's no link from cloudfest.com yet that I was able to find. So go to cloudfest.com/USA and you'll find the information there for that. So, it's really interesting. Any last words to leave us with here, Robert or Carl?
Plan. People joke about, you know, oh, I just show up at CloudFest in Germany. And it's like, no. There is, even for just as a standalone attendee, I'm usually 6 to 8 weeks out planning for it. So trying to set up meetings or whatever it may be, because it is so intense and people are insanely swamped. So I assume US will be a little easier to manage. But it's one of those kinds of events where you're not just showing up at it like, you know, WordCamp as an attendee and like, oh, I'll see what's going on. No, you're booking yourself. And
I literally barely saw you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's because I'm booked from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
If not 8 a.m. to, you know, 10 p.m.
Yeah. So, I don't know if that's the advice I would give to myself. I think because I met people like you who were like basically 3 days straight of 8 till 6 meetings, and they looked like they were, it's important, but it was like, it's a lot. Like they were, some of them were like, I didn't eat today, you know, like I'm just,
snack bar. Snack
yeah,
bar.
This now.
Hydrate.
yeah. Yeah. No, it's very challenging. I think it's good to go with a plan. Like I had a couple of meetings set up, but for me, a lot of it, it's a lot of serendipity. You know, like I met like some people actually, you know, I've been doing even though I didn't have meetings back to back to back, like I've been doing follow-ups like nonstop since I've been back like this week. Like it's almost all been follow-ups to CloudFest, like my days.
That's awesome though. I mean, that tells you that it's a great networking event and
yeah.
You know, so that's a huge
It's a
thing.
Good place for expanding the stack. I'll tell you that much. You get exposure to a lot of stuff.
Expanding your dev stack, expanding your networking stack, expanding your personal stack. I mean, it really just...
100%.
Awesome. Well, Robert, I want to thank you for joining us and talking about CloudFest with us today. Carl, as always, it's a pleasure to see you for these monthly podcast episodes. And if you have any ideas for things you'd like to learn about to expand the stack beyond WordPress and WooCommerce, let us know. We are here to delve into things that are adjacent or close to WordPress that help us to and help you to expand your stack. So just send Bob an email.
Hashtag bug Bob
on all the social media. I don't have my index card that has hashtag bug Bob with me this month. But, you know, definitely go out there and let Bob know what you want to hear about. And we will be happy to bring that to you. So for all of us here at Do the Woo, thanks for listening.
Hey, Bob WP again. Like to thank our sponsor, Kinsta. Do check them out at kinsta.com. And yeah, I guess Bug Bob, if you want to bug me, hey, you know where to find me. Hopefully, I will be able to make it to next year's CloudFest. I wasn't able to this time, but always appreciate the conversation. And until next time, we'll see you then.